Welcome to the Product Podcast, brought to you by Product School, the podcast where you get fresh insight from leaders at top tech companies and startups. Remember, you can learn product management in person at our 15 campuses worldwide or study with us online. Visit productschool.com to learn more about our courses. You can also hang out with the leaders from these podcasts at our hundreds of annual events and catch us at ProductCon, the world's largest PM conference that takes place every year across the United States and in London.
Hi, everyone. My name is Meenal Mehta, and I lead product for the next billion users at YouTube. As many of you know, YouTube is a very popular video platform all over the world. You know, we have over 2 billion users who use the platform every single month. 265 million of those are from India alone. And so you can see that this is a very popular platform for users all over the world. And my job is to make sure that our product works well for users in emerging markets, markets such as India, Indonesia, Brazil, Mexico, Nigeria, Philippines, Vietnam, and so on. There's like a, you know, a multitude of countries that I focus on. And YouTube, actually, for this might be something you don't know, we work in a very lean environment. Our team is incredibly lean as we serve these billions of users all over the world. And so prioritization is something that's near and dear to my heart. It's something I think about all the time. And today I'd like to share with you some tips on prioritization. Of course, all of you know we're in the middle of a global pandemic, and you know prioritization is something that's really important in our everyday lives. As product managers, you never have as much budget or as many people or as much time as you'd like to get what you need to get done. But then this global pandemic has changed the game even further. You are working with your team dispersed globally. Sometimes you are working in a way that you can't brainstorm with your team members on a whiteboard somewhere. People have other commitments that they're dealing with childcare and just, you know, changes at home. And so prioritization becomes even more important, not to mention that many companies are dealing with budget cuts and slowed down hiring at this point in time. So prioritization gets really important at this point, even more so than before. And even beyond that, I think like this global pandemic opens up new opportunities, right? Like with remote work increasing, with telehealth increasing, and you can name a multitude of opportunities that might be relevant to your business, all of a sudden you have these new opportunities that could be interesting for you. So how do you prioritize those versus businesses as usual? And then if you take a step back even further, like you know, work and life have become more synonymous with you working from home, or as some people like to say, living at work. And so how do you prioritize what you need to do for yourself, for your family, for your work, for your mental health, for your physical health, and so on? And so I feel like prioritization has gotten like even more important in the global moment that we're in. And of course, with the recent happenings, you wonder like what you can do to contribute, right? Like there's a lot going on. There's protests that are happening. There's a lot of other things that you could be doing. And you want to participate in creating a just and equitable world that we live in. And so with everything that's going on, like how do you think about how you can contribute to the world? And so I don't have all the answers, but I do have some tips that hopefully you'll find helpful as you think about your product and your life. I think the first one that I'd like to draw attention to is that you should know what you're saying yes to. There's so many things that you can say yes to. In fact, a few years ago, Shonda Rhimes, for those of you who don't know, she's a writer and producer of Grey's Anatomy and a multitude of other like very popular TV shows. She'd written a book called A Year of Yes. And the premise of the book is that she spent a year saying yes to various things. And this idea actually, you know, caught people's imagination. Many people hadn't read the book, and yet they thought, it could be kind of an interesting experiment to run. And I was thinking, yeah, that is a really interesting experiment to run, but I'm already running on fumes. Like, how can I say yes to even more things? And then I took my family to the boardwalk in Santa Cruz, which is a beach, like about an hour from where we live. And my son, who's 4, taught me a very important lesson. He was on this ride in this little boat. This boat has a lot of features, it turns out. You can ring a bell, you can steer the steering wheel, you can even like put your hand in the water if you'd like. And of course, kids can come up with a multitude of different things that they can do on the boat. He just sat there the entire time. I tried to tell him, I was like, why don't you ring the bell? And he was like, nope, don't want to do that. And so later, when we were just walking and chatting, I asked him about it. And he said, Mommy, I was just watching where I was going. And as happens so often when you have kids, you learn a really important lesson from your kids. When there's so much going on and there's so many different options, knowing what you're saying yes to is incredibly important. And so, you know, you have a lot going on at work. You have a bunch of product ideas. Your team has a bunch of product ideas. Your execs have a bunch of product ideas. Your customers want something different. There is balancing growth versus balancing experience. There's technical debt to be paid down. And so there's so many different options that come your way. Like, how do you think about what you might prioritize at work? And so it's really, really important that you know what you're saying yes to at work. As I mentioned, I focus on the next billion users at YouTube, and I have the option to think about growth. I have the option to think about user experience for our users. I have the option to think about monetization or costs. And I'm responsible for all of these things. But at any given point in time, it's very important for me to know what I'm focused on. And right now, I can tell you that the next billion users, they're different. And I'm really focused on serving their needs. Here are some ways in which these users are different. Maybe this is something that you learned today. These users are much more rural. In fact, if you think about just India as a country, there's 670 million rural users who are still offline and coming online rapidly versus 170 million users who are urban. So a majority of our growth is gonna come from these rural users. These rural users speak local languages, and not just Hindi, which is a language that, you know, many of us have learned to like build our products to serve, but like even more local dialects that most products don't know how to deal with. They have poorer connectivity, they have poor infrastructure, and they're less digitally literate overall. And so features that you and I might think are super easy are not very easy for them. There are more women who are going to come online. Again, in India, only 29% of folks online right now are women. So there's a lot of headroom. And they're a lot less interested in racy content than their male counterparts, for example. These users are more constrained. They have lower income. They have less access to data. They're more likely to share devices. And so there's a whole host of features that we need to think about. These users are also less literate. 70% of users in India are literate and 60% in Nigeria. And so there's a whole chunk of the population that can barely read. And this is like, we're only talking about like, you know, the 30% in India are illiterate. And then there's a whole range of people that are essentially functionally illiterate. And so when you think about building product, you really have to think very differently. And so in my case, I focus on improving the user experience. That's my front and center. That's my P0. Everyone at the company knows that that is what I'm focused on. And those other things, they are important, but really a bulk of my time and my brain space goes towards improving the user experience for these users that are fairly different from the users that you and I might be building for. So here's maybe something that can help, right? I really do think about work and life as a continuum, and a lot of principles that I think about at work, I also apply in life and vice versa. So I talk to you about my work. And so I just talked to you about, you know, creating your framework for this decision-making, and I shared mine. I think this is something as a product manager, communication, that is insanely important. And someone once told me that the way to think about communication is 7 times 7 ways. You're saying the same thing over and over again. You might change how you say it, but to land your message, you really do have to repeat yourself very often. You might think you're over communicating, but you might be just barely communicating. So once you've created how you make your decisions, make sure you're communicating it with anybody who needs to know. And then this third thing I think is actually really important to evaluate, to create space to stay open to the emergent. When I'm focused on user experience, for example, that doesn't mean I'm shut off to all the trends that are happening in the world. If data prices in one part of the world are dropping and growth suddenly becomes much more important, that's something I do need to know about. And so the only way I can do that is if I make space to listen to data that might help me change course if I need to change course. And what do you know? I actually recommend the same thing for life. Create your framework for decision-making. How do you think about family time? How do you think about time spent for yourself? Once you figure this out, make sure you communicate it with your stakeholders, your children, your spouse, your parents, your friends, whoever needs to know how you're thinking about prioritizing the things in your life. And of course, create space to stay open to the emergent. For me, for example, last year, I joined this thing called Circle of Hope, which is a community of women that get together and collect money to donate to women in India. And while that wasn't something that I had prioritized doing, when that opportunity came up, I was like, yes, I actually do believe in creating an inclusive world. And this is one way in which I can contribute. And so make sure you're staying open to the emergent, even while you've created your framework for decision-making, you've figured out what you're saying yes to, and you've communicated those things. So the next thing, very importantly, make sure you combine the two, because life can take up your whole time and work can take up your whole time. So definitely think about your framework across the two once you've thought about your framework for each, so that you are living your most fulfilling life while you're doing your most impactful work. So moving on to my second tip, and I call this simple rules for complex times. And you know, all of us, if I asked any of you if you deal with complexity, you'll say, yes, I deal with complexity all the time. But one of the things that I have studied over the last couple of years is, what does complexity even mean? And so this model is known as Kinevan. You can look it up. It's in this book called Simple Habits for Complex Times. But this is a model that I find incredibly useful to think about my product areas and my life overall. So if you look at this, there's like essentially four quadrants that exist. The bottom right, it's simple. Then you have complicated above it, complex to the left of that, and chaotic at the bottom. And the right side of this is essentially talking about a predictable world. And the left side of this is talking about an unpredictable world. So if you look at something simple, simple indicates that there's a best practice to do something. You know, maybe there's a best practice for hotel check-ins, or maybe there's a best practice for, you know, how to tie your shoelace. But there is a best practice that exists that is pretty simple to figure out, because people have figured it out and you can just lean into doing that thing. When you talk about the complicated world, there's a belief that a good practice exists. A lot of us are very analytical. A lot of us think about strategy. And the point there is, if you just spend time analyzing the problem, you'll come up with an answer that is actually pretty good, and that is very useful and very predictable. What the world has taught us, especially over these last few months, is actually we don't live in a very predictable world. We live on the left side. We live in the complex and the chaotic. The complex world means that we actually don't understand the complete system. You don't understand if you do X, like what are the ripple effects of X that might happen to your users, to your customers, to your family, whatever it might be. And then at the bottom, you have this chaotic world where it's so novel that we don't even know what to do over there. So I would say, like, of course, the coronavirus is the novel coronavirus, because it did throw the world into chaos. And I think many of you and many of your leaders at the company really figured out how to deal with that chaos. And the big thing about the chaos is you don't know what's going to happen. So you act, you see what the response is, and then you move forward from there. And you communicate a whole lot during that process. But I would venture to say most of your product work and most of your life is in the complex bucket, where you don't exactly know what a good practice is, but It's not chaotic. You can figure it out by running like small experiments and seeing what might work. And so in this world, I really believe that you should create some simple rules that help you deal with this complexity. Because if you look at your whole life overall, there's complexity at home, there's complexity at work, there's complexity with every product you work with, there's complexity with your stakeholders, there's complexity as you work with global teams and global customers. So really making sure you simplify by creating these simple rules to deal with some of this complexity so that your brain space can focus on the complexity you really need to focus on is really important. And all of that might be somewhat theoretical. So I will give you some of my simple rules. Detachment is incredibly important to me, even more so now that we are in this world where we're living at work or working from home. So one of my simple rules is I work from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day. And before I start work at 9, I definitely make my tea and I hang out with my kids and I bring my cup of tea to my desk and then I start my day. So there's a very clear boundary between like personal time and work time. I do check email again at 9 once the kids are asleep. And as soon as I wake up in the morning, just to make sure that there's nothing like super urgent that I need to pay attention to. And I think one of the game changers for me is that I have a work phone and I have a personal phone. Actually, that's a change I made a few months ago where I actually do have two phones, but both of my phones are not on my nightstand when I sleep. So when I wake up, the first thing I do isn't check my email. I actually wake up and I feel myself and then I go to my desk and then I check my email. At work, I make time for the important. I have 2 hours blocked off every day on my calendar to focus on non-reactive work. Something where somebody doesn't need you, something where you're not sitting through meetings, but really thinking through like your product strategy and your product implications, or even just like analyzing your experiment results, being very thoughtful about it and seeing what you can do. So I make time for the important. And then with the team management, both like my team, my cross-functional peers, I have definitely been asking for a lot more asynchronous resolution to decisions at this point, because everybody's schedule is just slightly different with everything that's going on. And so we use Google Docs. I'm sure many of you use Google Docs, but really like using the commenting functionality and being able to resolve things asynchronously is something that I have been much more cognizant of in this environment that we live in. For me, multitasking doesn't work. If I go to a meeting, I'm all in, I'm present, I'm listening, I'm participating. If I don't think I need to do any of those things, I don't show up. And then I have very limited standing one-on-ones right now. So that it clears up my calendar to do the work that I need to do. Also clears up the calendars of other people who are facing all of these constraints at this point in life. And then from a product perspective, and this is true whether we're in this world that we live in right now or not, I'd say for me, it's very important to remind myself to communicate early, even when I don't have all the answers. In fact, that's the best time to communicate because you get a ton of feedback and your product evolves really well. So here, these are some simple rules that help me. So I don't have to think about, oh my God, am I stopping work at 5 today or 5:30 or 6? Like how many hours do I want to spend today on thinking work? Like, do I need to have like all these extra one-on-ones? Should I be communicating with my team about product progress? Because if I've had the thought, I should be. So these simple rules can be really, really important so that then you can say, all right, for the important work that you're doing, for the complexity that your product brings, you can actually spend the brain space to think about like, what are the things you should be doing? What are the experiments you should be running to learn more and make sense of that complex world that exists? And then this is all great. Creating your simple rules is all great, but actually it's equally important to clearly communicate your boundaries because others need to know what you're doing. If they don't know, then there's always this tension of why isn't she responding to that email that I sent at 6:30 p.m. immediately, right? So make sure your boundaries are communicated, not just created. And then the last set of things I'll talk about is this notion of knowing yourself. We've talked about, you know, the first couple of things, like knowing what you're saying yes to and setting up simple rules for yourself. But all of this is only possible if you understand who you are and how you work. So I really encourage everybody to prioritize making time to do this in whatever way that works for you, in whatever way you can get the time and energy to do this, make sure you're doing it. Like, I personally definitely journal a lot. I meditate, I do yoga. Like, there's a lot of ways I am in touch with my feelings and myself and my body so that I know what is going on with me and what works for me. And I'd say as a product manager, it's like really, really important for you to make the time to know yourself. So some of the things that I have learned about myself, and by the way, like, some things have like a long history, like your mission and like what you truly believe in and your ethical boundaries. These things are things that like are fairly set in stone over time. And then there's some things that might be relevant to you at this particular point in time. So know both of those things. I would say for me, like, some of the things that are very important in any job that I do is creativity. I need to have the space to actually create and build something that is really impactful to users. Any opportunity that is purely a management opportunity, which we don't have at Google, but any of those opportunities are not that interesting to me because I don't get to really get my hands messy and understand what the user needs are, business needs are, and like be creative about a solution that might exist. Another thing that appeals to me is variety, working on a range of different problems and a range of different solutions with a range of different people at any given point in time, which is why something like the Next Billion Users is something that really is near and dear to me. The number of countries is vast. The number of opportunities is vast. The number of people I get to work with is vast. The problem space is vast and ever-changing. And that's incredibly important to me. And then the third thing that's important to me is community. Who are the people that I am working with? Are these people obviously, you know, do they share the same values that I share? But more importantly, are they the type of people that I can draft with? For those of you who don't know, drafting is a very common term in cycling, also with birds. If you see birds flying in a V-shaped formation, there's a bird in front and all these other birds in a V-shaped formation behind that bird in front. And the bird in front is actually doing a lot of the work, and then everybody else is sort of drafting behind, and then they swap. And so when you're doing really important, impactful work, it's very critical, at least for me, to find people that I can draft with, where I can lead and follow, and together we can create something really important. And then the last thing that I'd say is important for me is actually practicality. I almost decided to get a PhD many, many years ago, and that might be really useful and helpful for some people, but I took a moment to just know myself and realize that I like seeing the impact of what I'm doing in very short periods of time. And I don't like this notion of let's wait many, many years before we see the impact of something. And an example of that came up at work. We at YouTube have this product called YouTube Go, which is a light version of YouTube that is used by users in many markets and in many emerging markets. And this product was conceived of and built at a point where data prices were incredibly high all over the world. In India, for example, data prices at that point when this product was conceived of was at about $4 a gig, and now data prices are about 8 cents a gig. So the world changed dramatically from the time this product was conceived of to the time to now. And so as that transition happened, what ended up happening was that a lot of our users that would have originally been in the bucket of users that might have used YouTube Go actually just started using our YouTube Android app all over the world. And so going back to the practicality, for me, looking at the numbers and looking at the usage, I actually decided to shift resources so that we had people thinking about emerging markets users who were using the YouTube main app on Android, in addition to focusing on YouTube Go. And that was, for me, a very practical decision that needed to be made. And that's just who I am. It's like something that I need to know, that I work with folks who are actually practical and pragmatic, not just theoretical in the face of a very large mission. So I would really encourage you to know yourself, because of the second part, which is true, which is like, it's also very important to be true to yourself. I would venture to tell you that if two product managers got to manage exactly the same product at exactly the same point in time over several years, the outcomes would be entirely different. Because as a product manager, you leave a very strong mark on the product that you're building. And if you are trying to emulate somebody else, then your product will not be world-class and wonderful, because a product is really truly a part of who you are. And so I encourage all of you to not just know yourself, but also be true to yourself as you build the products that you were meant to build. And so in summary, I think prioritization is insanely important in the world that we live in. And some tips to prioritize what's going on in your work and your life are the following. Know what you're saying yes to, like my son in Santa Cruz, and at the same time, create space to stay open to what might emerge. The second tip is understand the complexity that exists in your life. Create simple rules for the things that you don't want to take up too much brain space, and then make sure you let people know what those boundaries are. That's actually has been proven that setting clear boundaries is a great way to build trust. And then the last thing I'll say is know who you are. And then as you build product, be true to yourself. Thank you and good luck prioritizing and building great product.
Thank you for listening to the Product Podcast. If you like this episode, don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. For more product insights, head over to productschool.com.